Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited-edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Everybody, sit down, drink water and relax. Manchester City are into the semi-finals of the Champions League and Liverpool go through too. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Thursday, 14th of April. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Andy Russell.
And I'm Vidushan Hantharaja.
Truly is the beautiful game, ladies and gentlemen. What a night.
Wasn't it?
Did you have a great time?
I had a great last half hour.
Because you're all about the ag, aren't you? That's all you like.
Yeah, that's it. That's about as long as I tolerate a night out for, about half an hour.
Oh, is that right?
And then,
yeah, I thought off. That was just my shit company, but...
Oh, Andy, you're really missing out. That's when it gets good. There was an element of...
I would stay for the... 9/11 minutes of stoppage time.
You would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah,
this had the feel of like a Tarantino film where it's just madness at the end.
Yes.
Yeah, so it all builds up. You expect kind of like a bit of menace and then suddenly you get all of it, all the bloodshed in those last 30 minutes.
Rather Tarantino than Guy Ritchie.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got Michael Madsen on the touchline, haven't you?
That's true.
So yeah, it works.
And those kits are actually very Tarantino. You know how it's supposed to be like paint, but it actually kind of looks like blood?
Yeah, it does.
On the Athletic Energy kit. They look like bloodied Where's Wally's. So, final score. Atletico Madrid, 0. Manchester City, 0. Manchester City go through 1-0 on ag. And so indeed it was.
It's worth underlining that because it's easy to forget that bit with everything that happened at the end.
Oh, yeah. Mm. There were no goals. Yeah, they shut out Atletico Madrid for 180 minutes. Manchester City go through for the third time in their history to the semi-finals of the Champions League. So a big night for them, Vish. And I think, you know, the only place really to start here after such a momentous occasion is to ask the question of who was your favourite villain?
My favourite villain...
It's hard because there's so many to choose from.
Yeah, but...
Is it Simon Vrsaljko in the tunnel? Is it Jack Grealish calling people cunts? Sorry.
No, I think it's...
I think there was only one, wasn't there?
It's got to be Stefan Savic for me. The one who...
Because he got away with it.
Well, exactly, yeah. Like in true villain... Because he's... You know when a villain gets away with it? Oh. You know there's going to be a sequel.
Yes.
Because he hasn't been caught.
But was the sequel not the tunnel?
No. The sequel is... This is... You know, into next season as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say
this is a type of performance that won't be forgotten. This is Jack Nicholson in the original Batman. Won't be forgotten.
Oh, I really hope that's the case because I was thinking the sequel will be 3 paragraphs on the UEFA website next week that tells you that he misses half the group games next season.
No, that's you know when Disney do their little weird series in between of like the Marvel films and he's like, oh, you need to watch this. You don't really need to. It just kind of keeps the story going along, you know. So that's what I think that is. But it's got to be Savage because I'm not saying you should be booked on expression alone, but that man only had malice in his eyes. And so there's a level of intent there that's already established, which should be a yellow card. He was furious.
What, like from kickoff?
Yeah, because the way he was operating and the way he was constantly going at Foden. And I think, you know, to kind of segue into a semi-serious point here, I think one of the best things that City have done over these two legs is they haven't quite tried to out-shithouse Atletico. But they've just been a bit smarter about how they take contact, knowing that they're going to be riled and almost calming themselves down to a point. And I thought it was, you know, it was really interesting. You know, Guardiola talked about it last week about how they got the ball boys to work on a rotation. But I thought what was really interesting was whenever a City player looked like they were about to blow up, another City player was nearby, not to kind of offer support, but to calm them down, basically.
It's sort of how Atletico took it in turns to foul players.
Yeah.
Which is the oldest trick in the book. And really. Even, that's why you have back three, basically.
Yeah, exactly. And even little things like, right, you're kind of fouled out with your yellow card, so yeah, I'll take over that duty of stopping a counter-attack.
And no one really helped Felipe with that, did they?
No, not,
after,
not at
after,
all.
After he got away with that really awful challenge on Foden early on.
And I'm 12 not minutes just, in, yeah, which yeah, left him with that swim cap aesthetic for the rest of the game.
That's right.
And Foden, I would, sorry, just to butt in it, I think Foden was emboldened by that as well. Other players might have thought, fuck, I don't know if I want this.
Yeah.
Not him. I mean,
that picture of him at full-time or that screen grab or whatever someone would have taken off the telly coverage of him just sort of quite serenely smiling while the world is burning.
Well, because he won.
Him.
Because yeah, he won. And he won in every possible way. Because let's cut to the chase here. He got Felipe sent off. And if, you know, he should have been punished for that early foul on Foden because, like I said, it was a dreadful challenge. But why Felipe was so outraged is because, A, he's got a very short memory. and B, I think, if you look, when Foden goes down from the original clean tackle, he leaves an arm out and catches Felipe in the face. Maybe that makes him have a little dig at him. I'm not entirely sure it was purposeful. But either way, I think Foden is, firstly, let's get over the fact that, yeah, English players do dive. You know what? It's fine. And yeah, I think it's particularly fine in that situation where you need to protect yourself. Flair players, I think, have got every right to do that,
yep,
to protect themselves. And he won in every sense.
Yeah. He didn't get, even though Savage tried to pull him up by his something, I can't remember, a bit of his shirt.
He just tried to remove him.
Because he was rolling onto
yeah,
the
yeah,
pitch.
Yeah,
wasn't
for
he?
Sure.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, that's, you can't be doing that, Vish. You can't be just like dragging players around because they're in the wrong position. That's not in the spirit of the game.
But
apart from the game that we want to see,
but
it
I think
is in the spirit of
I know it happened. It happened quite
late.
See
what you've done there.
It happened quite late in the game, but it was a great sign that the Atletico had completely lost it because I think a lot of.
Well, that was the moment it just
you
went
say,
to absolute
you say
shit,
that,
wasn't
though,
it?
I think the lines are quite blurred there because at that moment it's easy to say, and Miguel Delaney's written a brilliant article about this and what Atletico are, what they represent. How they maybe wind themselves up a little bit too much into a frenzy in situations like that. It's in The Independent. Strongly recommend you read it. The one thing I would disagree with a lot of people who are looking at this, I always talk about how we judge from the result and work backwards, like sort of find the working to justify the end. I think it's easy to forget, very easy to forget, that after City have done their number, in inverted commas, on Atletico, made them lose it, made Felipe get sent off, wasted loads of their own time at a time where they desperately need the ball up the other end of the pitch. After Atletico go down to 10 men, they're the two best chances of the game.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's actually Atletico who emotionally negotiate that better than Manchester City. That's, and they genuinely could have gone out after Felipe got sent off.
That is true. But
no,
there was
gone into extra time, sorry.
In the second half, and then, yeah, in the second half, and then when you're talking about, they had massive chances. You know, that John Stones block that he pulled off, and Stephen Savage just, that was a difficult chance, but he ended up kind of chopping it wide of the post. They had plenty of chances.
I mean, that's
at the end.
That's the thing, though. You look at the way that Manchester City got to the end of that and celebrated. Now, that was the thing for me. It was an extraordinary scene at the end because the crowd are celebrating as if they've won. They're celebrating their players. And the Manchester City players are celebrating as if they've got to the final already because it feels like, I think, such a bonding experience for them. We know City can play the best football in Europe. Did we know they could dig in exactly like that? I don't know if we did. I know they're defensively underrated because they're so beautiful to watch. But I think dealing with what they dealt with last night is something else entirely. And if there was ever a moment that you were going to be convinced that Manchester City are going to win the Champions League, and I will never be convinced they're going to win the Champions League until they actually win it.
Yeah.
That was it, I would say.
Yeah, it was a big night for all. It seemed like it was the middle of a big night for many of these Atletico players. So what's the deal then? I mean, you can see why Atletico think that full shit house is the way to play against Manchester City, even if they got it delivered in reverse on them and City did a lot better of a job of it. But why do they do this so often?
Well, it nearly worked. I mean,
well, kind of, but they also actually played some good football towards the end. And okay, fine. I'm counting out, can't even do the maths, but whatever, of the 180 minutes.
Well, I think in the context of this tie, it's worked, or it's come as close to working as you can possibly imagine against one of probably the absolute favourite for the competition. Because if you said to Atletico before the tie, you're going to concede one goal in 180 minutes, you're snapping their hand off at that. You know, it's great. It's worked. But I think the point, going back to Miguel's article, the point that he made is it's fine playing like that against Manchester City. That's not the Atletico issue.
Exactly.
It's
like, why are they playing?
When you're doing that against 90% of teams that you have much more money than, because they're not little Atletico or little-ish Atletico. Well, they're never little Atletico. But, you know, those players aren't beg, stolen and borrowed anymore. You know, they've got an absolutely humongous wage bill. It's not like Atletico.
They've probably still got the best paid coach in the world as well, haven't they?
They do have the best paid coach in the world.
By a distance, yeah.
Yeah, and they've got a player up front who cost 100 million and loads of other options and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think it's really interesting seeing this internal conflict. And if ever a club suited an internal conflict, it was them. Because at the moment, I think you've got this kind of push-pull between Simeone wanting to do what Simeone does and leaning on those values, and players who want to do a little bit more. So whether that ultimately works or he has to move on because he's had an incredible decade that's like changed the club, I don't know. But it's going to be interesting watching it pan out.
Isn't a lot of how they play governed by who they play, in that to get the La Liga titles, to get as far as they have in Europe, to re-establish themselves as a dominant force in not just Spain, but in European football? Maybe, you know, dominant is probably not the right word, but in terms a recognisable force, I suppose.
Yeah.
They've had to find a way of playing those big teams. And the best way of doing that or honing that is to play like that all the time. I always think about that when I see Atletico. I always think, they're always preparing for this match. Mm. They're always preparing for a quarterfinal or a semi-final against a team where they have to shut up shop, and they do it better than anyone. And, you know, Pep said the other day that he totally gets why, he knows they're defensive. He doesn't see that as a sly. I always think that, I think they have taken it too far in that regard. I don't think they have to play like that, as you stated there. But I just feel like they're a product of their environment.
Yeah, I think that's true. And Simeone's worked so hard on that environment. I mean, the atmosphere, you know, you rarely get the atmosphere when you're watching a televised match.
Yeah.
It's absolutely flying out the television.
And it's flying incredible. Out the television from what you see on the field as well. Not just the noise. I think you see the way they're playing, you're like, that looks raucous.
But that's what Simeone does, and that's what makes him so valuable, is that he conducts the crowd. He like very self-consciously conducts the crowd. And that's really special. And you saw that thing at the end where I think people were saying he was sarcastically clapping the City bench. Yeah. He wasn't. He was clapping the fans and they were clapping him.
It was a sarcastic clap, though. I thought he was clapping the time-wasting and various other bits.
Well, he was doing
that.
Who will ever know what's inside
Diego Simeone's...
It probably wasn't sarcastic, but you know what? I respect this. own move against me.
And he was on the pitch as well, wasn't he? He was keyed up. Oh, they spent force, though, really brass, given that they didn't manage to get a rise out of Pep Guardiola.
You say that. I mean, he looked like he was going to explode. It's really interesting watching two coaches on the touchline and thinking, I wonder whose head the flame is going to come out of first.
Yeah.
It did look like that, didn't it?
I also realised, you know, last night was a great example of why Simeone leads the line in terms of sartorial choices. Because he clearly is very active. He clearly sweats a lot. So he wears all black.
Nice.
And the jacket is a good layer for that.
And the jacket is good for the armpits as well. Smart man.
He is a smart man. But in the end, Pep Guardiola outthought him finally. And as you say, perhaps this is it. Perhaps this finally is it. Manchester City going to win.
Do you know what? As well, I think if you're looking for that click moment, it's not just City getting through it. It's the bit where it's the bit where Guardiola thinks, well, I'm going to bring on Fernandinho to close this out.
Yeah, quite.
I mean, that's the thing, and you end up with Fernandinho and Rodri on the pitch, and you're probably thinking, well, I wish I did this like 10 months ago in Porto or whatever. But yeah. Fernandinho is the ideal player to close that out. I can't think of, well, he didn't get 10 minutes in the end, he got 21 minutes, didn't he? But I think he had an enormous influence on the closing part of that game. And you think on the day when he announced that he was, well, the day after he announced that he was
Tuesday,
leaving as well. Yeah.
Tuesday he was on about it. But yeah. it wasn't interesting. Perhaps one, we should talk a tiny bit about that because we haven't talked about it yet. So Fernandinho in that pre-match presser, he said, yeah, I'm getting out of here. I want to play more football. I want to go back to Brazil. And and then Pep Guardiola hadn't heard it or did his sort of peppish reactions to unexpected news. But it does seem like this might be something a bit dodgy, I feel like. I feel like this might be a tiny little fissure within the dressing room in the sense that, like, where are we? Like a month ago, he was on about how he's a big part, Pep, that is. He's a big part of the dressing room. He's kind of...
He's the dad of the dressing room.
Yeah. He's key to the way that the team functions. But he, clearly, from saying things like that, is not happy about the fact that he's barely played all season, whatever it is.
I agree with you. 10 games, I think,
in the Premier League. And the fact that he's just, if it's true, and it's not kind of a little bit of acting, that he's just popped out and said something about it and tried to drop the mic. I think that's very interesting.
I find that absolutely remarkable, that someone who's so influential for City in so many ways, even if he doesn't play as much anymore, how can you not know as the coach? I don't understand that
Do you think that was genuine from Pep?
Yeah, I think it was.
I have my doubts. I think Fernandinho blindsided him.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah,
I think maybe he blindsided him in terms of he didn't realise he was going to go public.
Right.
But I think Guardiola's been across this for a bit.
There's wicked whispers in the dressing room, definitely, that people don't feel like it's reasonable that he's played so little.
Yeah, although, you know, as Brassel said, he came on yesterday, he managed the game brilliantly. Like, he felt like right now...
Well, that's
time.
Even more reason...
Yeah. But he was like, now's the time for the adult. Like, the adult comes on and is like, right, well, let's tidy up. But yeah, put that down. Come on. It's bedtime now.
If you're Simeone, do you look at that and say, before we go home, do you fancy a season there?
Ooh. No, I mean, he'd run his legs off, wouldn't he? He'd never walk again. I feel like when you go to Atletico, you've got to be there young, haven't you? You know, break your bones and until you can, you know,
There was a bit in the second half where I think it was after... Suarez came on, where someone found a through pass for Suarez, and he started getting after it, and you're like, yeah, this is really old man Luis Suarez.
Yeah. It was against Stones. I think they said on commentary 5 years ago, he's knocking that past Stones.
Yeah.
Getting on the other end of it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they all went to bed in the end, or possibly they're still fighting in the tunnel. There were apparently 4 policemen in the tunnel at the end.
Do you think we need to take it on? We do not condone that, listeners.
We do not condone it.
Or we do not have HD cameras in there.
Yeah. So disappointing.
The thing is, you
Did
look
you
at
see
the
Scotty
way it's
Carson
set up.
Supposedly offered Simo Vrsaljko out.
It's easy to offer Simo Vrsaljko out, though, isn't it?
What? As in?
I know he's got a bit of something about him, Vrsaljko, but you know he's not a savage, is he?
Of all the people to pick in that Atletico squad, just so happens to be Vrsaljko.
Yeah,
but I think you look at the size of that tunnel. I mean, even on like relatively poor security cameras, you get a pretty good view of it. But that tunnel is made for like full-on productions.
We should have had better footage.
6 cameras, 4K, all that sort
of
business.
There was some like writing in the way of the picture as well, wasn't there? So it was even less clear. Yeah. That's the real crime here.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, you've got to know where you've got to improve for next year, right?
Damn right. Liverpool go through as well to the semi-finals. 3-3 the final score here against Benfica at Anfield. 6-4 on aggregate. It sounds exciting. It was exciting, but the goals are kind of in the wrong order because those 2 equalising on the night goals from Benfica came at the end from Juricic and Nunes, who constantly found the net, felt like, but was constantly being ruled out for offside. Vicious. Good work kind of using that high line of Liverpool. Did the chaos did the chaos mean anything to you, or does it not really matter? Liverpool trying out a kind of a bit of a a bit of a makeshift side on the night in the Champions League quarterfinal.
I don't know. Like, I suppose my job as a sports journalist is to overreach, isn't it? And so I was trying to do that last night and this morning. And the only thing I could come up with is that maybe they might be concerned that the last two home games in the Champions League have been a defeat to Inter and then this draw where they looked a bit defensively.
Lapse.
You know, lapse. Yeah, not even all over the place, just a bit lapse. But
that's how Real Madrid do it in the vintage years.
Yeah, well,
crap at home, win it away.
But also, like, it didn't matter because they were so brilliant away in those first legs. So I feel like the way they've played this is perfect for, you know, I mentioned on yesterday's show in terms of the two main fronts they're fighting on in the league and, you know, the European Cup. They're managing it really well. They're managing their squad really well. I don't really know. I think Klopp played the media quite well yesterday in terms of his media engagements by saying, you know what, if I'm ever unhappy going to the semi-final of a Champions League, you know, slap me silly or whatever he said. But I think behind closed doors, he's quite an understated tweaker. I think he's someone who, you know, he's always fine-tuning. It's not the case that, like, he takes a result, leaves it. And I know that's kind of what you'd expect from a manager in his position and certainly at his level. But I think he'd be waking up today and being like, look, there were a few things yesterday we can't let seep into our game long term. I know we were through. I know we were kind of comfortable all throughout this tie, all throughout the 180 minutes. But, you know, there were little things that I suppose he would want to iron out. But then at the same time, I say that and you look at the number of people who didn't start, who would usually start a game of big magnitude. It kind of doesn't matter, but I suppose it's something for him to address.
I mean, there's two ways of looking at it, really. One is he was taking a massive risk putting out the team that he did for what was still a Champions League quarterfinal and what wasn't quite finished, especially with what happened to Real Madrid the night before. The other way of looking at it is the fact is you look at Liverpool's calendar, it's not just about resting Salah and Mané. It's about getting minutes into the legs of the other players because you're going to need these players.
It's about
the quadruple,
Brassel.
It is, exactly.
It's about the quadruple, which is on. Although Klopp says English football is to blame for English side, or the media or something is to blame for English sides not being able to win the quadruple ever.
Because of the schedule?
Oh, probably. Apart from the women, they've done it. Brass, on the two previous occasions, Liverpool have defeated Benfica at the quarterfinals. They went on to lift the trophy. So
how
it's case
that, eh?
Closed, isn't it? What do you make of that?
Yeah, sounds about right.
78 and 84.
Benfica know about all about historical precedent / curses, don't they? They love a good curse.
James Milner becoming the oldest Englishman to start a Champions League match since David Beckham played for PSG at 37 in 2012-13. He's having a big week, isn't he, Bex? Just his film, it's nothing to do with him.
What's
Bend It Like Beckham? It's just a reference to Bend It Like Beckham.
Oh, and his son got married on the weekend.
Oh, yeah. One for the paupers to enjoy. Liverpool host Villarreal on the 27th of April. Manchester City will host Real Madrid. Which is your favourite? I think
what's your favourite
game? I think the Villarreal game is my favourite because I don't really believe that they can beat Liverpool, but I would love it if they could.
Yeah, I mean, this seems to be the very limit of Villarreal, doesn't it?
Not because I have anything against Liverpool, just to be totally clear. I love seeing you guys.
You love the team, you hate the city, that's what you said.
I was down to the last three for LFC TV many years ago, although I guess they didn't hire me, so you know. I love the city. I know all about its history. Anyway, sorry, I cut you off. No.
Well, no, I was basically saying that this feels like the limit of what Villarreal are capable of.
I felt like the limit of what Villarreal were capable of last time when they went 1-0 up to Bayern Munich.
Yeah, I noticed that. You were very down on them yesterday.
Yeah.
Whilst, by the way, I have a writ for you from Mr. D. Adebayo for stealing his Beanie Man joke on Karim Benzema. Outed yourself as not an OTC listener there, didn't you?
Oh, is that his thing?
Like
he
has not just used that or overused it, he has flogged it beyond death.
Wow.
And I love him for it.
Things are heating up in the Football Ramble studio.
Now, Dotson is someone I wouldn't fight.
Let's get to the tunnel, lads, shall we? But before we do that, let us know. Tell us, Brass, what's happening on OTC today?
Well, apart from me calming down and angry Dotton, we will be discussing what went wrong for Bayern Munich and all the fallout with them. Can Real Madrid actually win the Champions League? And Nicky Bandini will be joining us to talk about, is it the end of an era for Napoli?
Ha, can't wait. Subscribe to Football Ramble Presents so you do not miss an episode of that one. All right, let's get to a break and calm down.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
I'm quite a placid guy.
Oh, are you? Are you, though? Welcome back to the Football Ramble with me, Brass, and Vish in your ears today. We have some very good emails to come. Here we go. I was briefly worried that we might have cut that one down so there was only one chorus, but thank God.
Come on, it's all about the key change.
Magnum Opus retains its current format.
It does. We've got one from Evan here. After we heard about Anders Limpar shaving all his hair off to make him more aerodynamic on Tuesday's show. Hi, not sure what the cross-section is between serious cyclists and Football Ramble listeners, but my former cycling teammate in graduate school, Chris Yu, built a wind tunnel for his employer, Specialized, and proved that shaving your legs makes you way faster. 70 seconds over 40 kilometres, or more than a minute in an event usually decided by seconds. Perhaps we can all take a lesson from nature's hydro/aerodynamicist, the beaver.
Yeah, I'm much faster than you on a run, aren't I, Brass? So that's probably what it's all about.
I've got less hair.
It's probably about my aerodynamic legs, because women generally tend to...
That's funny, actually. I noticed the first couple of times I went to tournaments with Portugal.
Oh yeah,
lots of waxed legs in that squad.
Just also, you know, the great moniker, look good, feel good, play good.
I thought it was to do with massages.
What you've got to bear in mind
is that Portuguese men are typically quite hirsute.
Was this not your whole take that this guy is debunking?
Huh?
Or was it someone else?
No, I think...
Luke's got that off you then, has he?
No, but I think that is true. But I think Luke specifically said that it's not for aerodynamic reasons, even though it is, yeah.
Definitely bloody is. And same for swimming and things like this.
Yeah, it's a side benefit, what Evan's talking about, definitely.
It's a side benefit. Yeah. As long as you make sure to exfoliate so you don't get...
ingrown hairs.
Yeah, I mean, let's not get into that thing about Luis Figo waxing his chest for that Calvin Klein campaign. That was awful.
Why was that awful?
Well, because it must have really hurt.
Oh, okay.
You guys are fucking wimps.
No, I mean, it would be fine for me, but Luis Figo, being a Portuguese gentleman...
You're calling Portuguese gentlemen wimps?
No, ooh. I'm calling them hairy.
Well, does Pepe know you think they're wimps? Ooh, here we go.
Are you trying to find me a fighting partner?
Look over your shoulder.
Now you've picked a fight with various Manchester City players.
Yeah, exactly. I need Pepe as backup. I've got an email from someone who'd like to remain anonymous. After hearing the email about grown men with names on their shirts on Tuesday's Ramble, I needed to tell you about an older guy who sits in front of me at Palace. He has 69 as a number. Classic. And to top it off, the word gizzer.
Oh my God.
On top as the name. It annoys me every single time I see it.
You can do without that.
It's not much point you staying anonymous, is there? Because presumably this old dude...
Just turn around and be like, right. It's you then, isn't it? You've sent that in.
That is the thing, anonymous, with season ticket seats, isn't it?
Yeah.
What was a little bit unfortunate, when I lived in France, you would have a lot of Lyon fans with 69 pressed onto their...
Lizzo-Lazu?
No, because it's the department that Lyon is in.
Oh,
it's the 69th department.
Right.
So it's nothing saucy there at all.
Why did Lizzo-Lazu change his number to 69 at the end of his career?
That's a good question. But it's not because he's from there.
Is it maybe? Maybe it's called something else in French as well. Anyway, they probably have lovelier words and terminology for making love, wouldn't you have thought?
I mean, it's a very specific way of making love, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think they probably have decent terms. Write in, guys. If you're French and you know lovely terms about sex, give us an email, show@footballramble.com, or tweet us @footballramble. Now, it's interesting, Brass, you make the point about season ticket holders and everyone sitting together, because we're just going to talk now about Granit Xhaka, who's done one of these amazing pieces in the Players' Tribune, where he talks about what happened when the Arsenal fans booed him off in that Crystal Palace game, and he threw his shirt on the ground. But he also talked in that, he talked about what it feels like to still walk to the tunnel and see those same faces that, according to him, prompted that reaction in him. Because, of course, everyone sits in their seats, and he says he made eye contact with them and saw the kind of hate in their face that day, and considered it a huge, you know, moment of disrespect, as he was the captain, disrespect to the club as well. It's a pretty interesting piece. What did you make of it?
I didn't think it was massively surprising, any of it. I think that's something that's often forgotten. The fact that you just expect players to play the next game and get on with it. And, you know, now everything's been calm for a while, it's fine. I don't think it'll ever be fine, will it? Mm. I think it makes me wonder, from his perspective, what actually made him stay. You know, money, family happy in London.
Well, he says Arteta kind of persuaded him effectively.
But the real reason, I suppose, is probably financially. Perhaps if we weren't in a pandemic and, you know, there'd be another club who'd be able to take him on, he might have gone that way.
Yeah, I mean, there was talk of him going to Roma at one point, although from what I gather...
Start this season, wasn't it? Yeah,
they were never prepared to pay exactly what Arsenal wanted. I mean, you're not getting any eye contact with the fans there. You've got a bloody great running track at the Olympics. Yeah.
He'd love it, wouldn't he? Can't hear them. Sorry, perfect. What was that?
Yeah, the thing about the fans, I think it's quite interesting. What reading that made me think of is, I think when you go to a game of football, we've seen this again and again, more connected to really some of the really vile stuff we've talked about in the past, is that I think fans, and that's one of the great joys of going to football, you feel kind of anonymous. You feel like a part of an anonymous mass, and you're just the crowd, and these guys are down there, you know, doing whatever. You know exactly all about their lives. You know everything about them. But the fact is, you know, Roma aside, because you're so far away, but you can't, obviously you're an individual person too, and your actions do have consequences, and they do have an impact on your players.
Also, how English football and the atmosphere of the Premier League has actually affected the world, because the fact is, it is considered best practice to have stands that are absolutely on top of the pitch now. You know, we're talking about Roma. Real Sociedad used to have this huge running track at the Anoeta that they never used. And they had quite an extensive operation to bring all the stands in. And it's done incredible things for the atmosphere. And that's what, if you talk to players who come from abroad and play in the Premier League, that's what they say is the thing. The fact that the fans are right next to you. It's almost like basketball. It's so incredibly intense.
Yes.
But that's wonderful in one way. But on the other hand, abuse is going to feel a lot more personal. So, you know, there has to be something done about that.
Yeah, he says, still to this day, if we've lost, I hate walking those last metres to the tunnel because I still recognise their faces.
Yeah, I suppose this doesn't feel like a situation that's particularly unique to him or Arsenal, does it? I imagine quite a few players dislike certain sections of their own fans, certain areas of their own fans. You know, I won't name him, but I remember a friend of mine had a particular problem with a player at QPR, but became a recurring thing because his seats are kind of just behind the dugout, and he kind of shouted at him once, and he recognise him every now and again.
Is this your friend Anonymous?
Yeah. No, but he was like, like my mate's not a dick, so he was like, I actually felt quite bad because I was only having a go at him for football reasons. But he obviously remembers it, or remembered it, like, doesn't play for them anymore.
I think that's a really important thing to recognise.
Yeah, because he was like, oh yeah, and he was like, every now and again when he would come off afterwards, he would like try and work his way into like an apology to be like, man, I'm really sorry about the other day. But he was like, how do you actually repair that relationship? Because everyone thinks about it one way. And on Xhaka's point of view, in terms of the wider fan base, it's like just playing well, keeping your nose out of trouble. Arsenal is this, as the whole team, you know, going and doing bigger and better things. But the relationship's actually harder to fix the other way, because it's like, do we still, I mean, we're going to sing your name, I'm singing your name, by the way. I know I slagged you off the other day, but that was, you know, I'm singing
it really loudly.
Really
loud.
But that's the thing. I think for a long time, the word passion has been used as a sort of get out of jail free card for all sorts of really harsh and personal abuse that's not all right in a stadium.
Because also it's a badge of honour
right
as well,
anywhere.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there was this thing at Hertha Berlin at the weekend where they got battered in the derby by Union. And the players, they always, in Germany, they always approach the crowd at the end. And the Hertha players approached the crowd, and the ultras made them take their shirts off because they said they weren't worthy of wearing the shirts. The awful thing was, though...
How did they enforce that?
It was that, well, they just asked them to, and some of these players felt shocked enough, especially the younger players. That's what unnerved me a bit.
Right.
Felt shocked enough, like, say, you have Linus Gechter, who's a teenager, taking his shirt off. And Freddie Bobic, the sporting director, talked about it afterwards, and he said, that's actually not okay.
Mm.
There's basically these adults bullying teenagers.
Yeah.
Also, it doesn't just stop on the field, because they're going to go home and think twice about walking outside in the city or the town that they live in because of that kind of stuff. Yeah, I imagine that's quite harrowing, especially for a kid.
Yeah, I mean, we still have that thing here of, like, you know, if you've lost, don't go out for a meal with your wife or your family. Just stay inside and hang your head in shame.
Shame,
really. I always find when I feel bad about something I've done, like, professionally, you know, I haven't performed as well as I could do on the ramble. I find if I just sit in a corner and feel really ashamed of myself, I find that I do, that really helps. That really helps me professionally.
It does to a point, but I don't know why you do it when we record. You do it in your own time.
Why do you keep coming in? We can be recording from home.
What you've done is a disgrace.
You've let us down, you've let your family down.
And I'm very disappointed in you.
There's plenty more European action for you guys tonight. Will Leon Brass show enough passion for you?
No.
In that they're currently level 1-1 against West Ham. Level heading into this second leg, kicking off at 8 o'clock tonight.
West Ham are tired and they really looked it at Brentford at the weekend. Having said that, I think they're going to raise themselves for this. I think also they've got the players to get at Leon and the way they defend or don't really defend the wide areas. We saw that early on in the first game with Bowen and Mikel Antonio. They could really get at them. And I think with 11 players, because, you know, this ended off, whatever you think of it, massively changed the game last week. I think that makes a big difference. Both these sides are like limping a little bit, though. You've got no Anthony Lopez, the goalkeeper for Lyon. You've got no Lucas Paquetá. He's injured as well. So, I mean, basically, there's going to be two bold men fighting over a comb. And I think West Ham will be slightly less bold. They'll comb over more successfully.
You gave them no chance, Lyon, before the first leg.
Yeah, and I'd stick with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine. Summed it up. I mean, West Ham don't have any defenders on the left-hand side. Aaron Cresswell suspended, Kurt Zouma out for a little while. Angelo Bonner has been out for some time as well. So Issa Diop, see what he makes of it all.
That sounds like Yarmolenko at left-back to you.
Yeah.
A Masuaku, though, wouldn't it? Annoyingly.
Yeah, like I said, Yarmolenko at left-back.
Rangers are hosting Braga at Ibrox in another quarterfinal tonight as well, with that 1-0 Braga going in on aggregate heading into that one. Roma are hosting Bodø/Glimt.
Again.
2-1 down they are. Just the 2-1
down. We don't care about the score.
Just the 2-1
down. We know what we're here for.
Well, I mean, I'm disappointed in it because it's not the 6-1 that they managed in the group stages. Bodø/Glimt must be feeling like they haven't, you know, rammed home their advantage enough despite beating up, both sides. Both sides say that punches were thrown. There is an agreement on that.
Yes, there is.
In after the game, they'll be without their manager, Kjetil Knutsen. He had a physical altercation with Roma's goalkeeping coach, Nuno Santos, at the end of the first leg last Thursday. The debate is about who threw the first punch, basically.
I think what the overwhelming suspicion is here is like that people are looking at it and thinking Mourinho has said, well, someone's going to have to sacrifice themselves, Nuno.
Because they've both been provisionally suspended by UEFA. There's video footage of it. I don't know, Vish, I don't know if your analytic mind worked better on the footage than mine. I couldn't
see a thing.
But, yeah, I couldn't really tell.
Yeah, I just... Will they be kept apart, or do you think this is going to...
Pushed on by Jose. Oh, will they be kept apart? I think you meant in the fight.
No. Will they be kept, you know, I don't know what UEFA do. Do they have extra officials there monitoring it?
Well, I don't know. I kind of think that this sort of violence naturally occurs when you play a team too much during a season. So basically, Roma and Bodø/Glimt is like the 2022 version of when Real Madrid and Barcelona played each other four times in 17 days. Obviously over a slightly more extended period, but I think we have to make allowances for that. And like we said, there's a lot of space at the Olympico. I think Romelu, the mascot, will be keeping them apart. I mean, as we know, he can handle himself in a combat situation, history fans. So
Jose Mourinho says, we reacted with honour despite the humiliation.
I mean, honestly.
In the one we lost 6-1, we were exemplary. Knutsen himself says Mourinho's attitude is shocking. Again, this is an example of perhaps someone not following the career of other people as closely as they might.
Yes.
He even said that events like this make me want to move to a different field. That's Jose. Bodø/Glimt's fans, though, they're taking matters into their own hands. They've raised $8,000 to create Knutsen face masks to wear during the match.
The players won't be able to see because the stands are so far away. good.
Maybe they'll have a fan on the bench.
Mm. Or maybe
in the mask to like inspire
them.
It might be
like, did you see that Cologne fan who got onto the pitch?
Of course.
At the Bayern game. Yeah, it might be like that. So eventually, someone in a Kjetil Knutsen mask will make it onto the field. I mean, the players will have left several hours before. But
well, the winner, whoever it is, come on, Bodø, will play Leicester or PSV. They face each other tonight at 5:45, that classic football watching hour.
I think, I'm kind of used to it by now. It's a nice little
order. Yeah, but this is literally
before
your job, mate. Like, it's nobody else's job. Everybody else listening, mainly, it's not their job. They have like jobs to do.
Rush home from work, or maybe
exactly.
A lot of people work from home now. You know, you get nice sort of kids tea of like fish fingers, chips and peas.
It's too early for tea, 5:45.
Not if you're a kid, it's not.
Yeah.
What time do kids go to bed nowadays?
I think it's very dependent on their ages, Vish, from what I understand.
Right. Because you're in bed quite early.
Tried to be, yeah. need to get my beauty sleep. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I just meant you don't usually have plans in the evening, do you? But I'm a little bit worried that today is the day that all the things that we think were really interesting about the Europa League and the Conference League, such as, you know, West Ham potentially about to play Barcelona, how far Leicester City can go, Rangers and general Ibrox feel for those European nights, I'm worried that this is the day that they all die, all those dreams. Because I think they've been sustaining us for most Thursdays. They've been really interesting and, you know, I think the dynamic from an English perspective and a British perspective, rather, has been pretty cool. But I'm a little bit worried for all three of them today.
What makes you feel that? Is that just an emotional response, Vish?
Just an emotional response to knowing that things die eventually.
Wow, well, yeah. Sorry to hear that. And
happy Thursday, listeners!
And thanks.
It's all transient, basically. You know.
Shit, it's Easter, so they might come back. You don't know. So that's, yeah, I mean, it could die, but...
Great save. Yeah. Great save.
Move the stone over and walk out of the cave.
Our listeners, I'd leave you with the point that the transience of football in many ways is the beauty of it. So despite Vish's deeply depressing end to the show, we are going to get out of here. Say goodbye in a chirpy way, Vish, eh?
Goodbye.
Aw, say goodbye, Brass.
Goodbye, but not forever, just till tomorrow.
That's nice. We can't wait to see you. Thanks for listening to The Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
DiCaprio looks really old in that End of the World film.
DiCaprio's never been fit, by the way. I think it's a great, amazing, extraordinary scam that he's pulled on the world.
No.
Romeo and Juliet.
You heard it
Romeo
first.
And Juliet.
Leonardo DiCaprio is a minger.
No, but
right. Let's start.
I think he's aged nicely.
No, he's not even minger.
No, it's not about his age. It's about
he's
it's
a
like
chubby
take
little
that,
minger.
Take that. It's like the hold he had on the, on that. You know, those group of women at that time of their life.
Yeah,
idiots.
Obviously, Romeo and Juliet, the beach, Titanic.
Yeah.
Catch me if you can. And he was like, he's set for life.
All right, here we go.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production. We'll be right back.